And a welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Merge. Merge, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Ready for some playoff basketball. But I'm going to start the pod off by doing this. Since transitioning over from the other pod, I want to formally apologize to Alan for my slanderous words. I enjoyed having it be us two on the pod. It was just a comment I was saying in passing. So for that, I apologize.
Alan's not going to talk to you.
Hey, guys. It's nice to finally be back on the Under the Bus podcast. Seeing as my last two appearances don't count. Oh, man. Oh. Naz, if you missed it yesterday, man. And yeah, Naz is on the podcast as well, guys. He's finally, me and him and Claire made these like miraculous returns. We haven't been on in so long, right? You know, all three of us. It's amazing.
I go on these pods like once every like 2 months. So, but I have no idea what went on. Apparently, those two ones didn't
merge.
Count.
Merge did not appreciate Alan, and it hurt Alan.
It was a poor choice of words. why am I blanking on the Castellanos meme? Oh my god, why did I was gonna spout off the Castellanos meme and I completely blanked out in my head. But yeah.
Sorry. I made some comments tonight.
Yeah, I made some inappropriate comments. I had a poor choice of words, and there's a shot by Castellanos, and that is now a 4-0 game. Anyways, the Lakers kind of had a big game the other night.
Oh man, what a game that was.
It was actually the first game I think I've been able to watch in a couple weeks because I was having a lot of work stuff, and it was not the game for me to watch, apparently, because the first half in one of the DMs, I was ripping into everyone. I was so pissed, unbelievably pissed. So obviously the Lakers beat the Golden State Warriors. I think the final score is 103-100 off of that insane shot by LeBron. And already the pictures and drawings and all of it are just amazing.
I prefer lucky. I just want to say that was all luck, no skill. Yep. LeBron trash. He's playing on one leg. The Lakers should be worried. Yeah. We are trash. Yeah. AD's horrible. Uh-huh. Drummond's the worst center in the league.
Right.
Alex Caruso's a meme. Is there anything else I'm missing, Naz?
On the next Undisputed, that's what you're missing.
You could find Allen next to Skip Bayless on Monday.
I'm getting Caruso a job now.
In the second half.
I'm getting a job now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be relocating to LA.
Yeah,
here we go.
Hey, man, that Lakers slander pays. Skip got like $70 million like total because
that's
of
why 25 out of 50 states, the Lakers are the most hated team in the league. So
right.
Wait, well, no, I thought it was the Nets.
The Nets overtook us.
Oh, they did. I thought 25 us and 21 and 21.
No, the Nets overtook us apparently.
Oh, and that's good because you know they deserve.
We're the underdogs, you know.
Yeah, we believe volume two.
Everything.
You're the seven seed.
It's just. All right. So we'll go ahead and get into this. All right. So first, I kind of want to hear you guys' opinions on the play-in tournament overall. I find it really interesting and fun. Obviously, as Lakers fans and whatnot, they really like it. But I enjoy the idea of it. Obviously, I do not want the Lakers to be in that situation again. But you know, I still think it's a cool idea.
As a concept, it is. If you look at those teams, like if you take the Lakers out of the equation, say the Lakers jump to the sixth seed and we're playing the Nuggets on Saturday or whatever, I think Warriors Blazers still would have been a fun game, and I think Warriors Grizzlies tonight is still a fun game. The thing that ruined it was, well, the Hornets, everyone was hurt or they've been playing horribly, and the Wizards decided to, both Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, to not show up in that game against Celtics. I thought that would potentially be a good one. There's a lot more interesting matchups in the West, even with Lakers out of it. You probably would rather have a team like the Pelicans instead of the Spurs.
It's why they have it. That's why they have it.
Pretty much. You want to see a guy like Zion in a game like that because he's just so spectacular, but didn't work because they were organically the 11 seed. I think it's a fine concept. It needs to be tweaked a little bit because you don't want to see those 10 seeds making it like that. It seemed like the Hornets, who record-wise, they were like right next to the 8 seed, but it just didn't work out well. And I think there's also some room for manipulating the, you know, not trying for half the season and then go on a late run and then you're 8 games in the 10 seed, 8 games behind the 9 seed, and then you're in the play-in tournament. I don't think that's fair, but yeah.
My thing is that we were lucky in getting the Warriors in the normal year. If, like, let's assume that, like, those stars aren't hurt, right? Because usually situations like this don't happen. Like these guys are not 7-8 seeds. These are not normal 7.
And this was the worst. This was the worst year for the Jazz and the Suns to be the number one and the number two seeds. And I love it. I love it because I am not going to be shocked at all if both 7 and 8 seeds come out victorious in it.
Right. Like, because the Warriors are like a terrible matchup for the Jazz. They're terrible. Like, you know, they'll play Gobert off the floor. And then we don't even know if Mitchell's coming back. Right,
Mitchell's probably playing, but it's a high ankle sprain. You know, we saw how LeBron looked when he came back.
Yeah,
and it was after LeBron's too, so he heard it like a couple weeks after. So this LeBron, is like a month. Worse.
Yeah, LeBron has that equity where, like, okay, he's hurt, but he could play through this because, you know, how many years he's been in the league and how well.
And he can always fall back on his passing as well.
Right, but like Mitchell, like, he's young. And he's going to have to rely on his quickness and his explosiveness. And it's just not going to be there. It's just a no. And he should have came back like a couple of weeks ago because of supposedly a grade one sprain, right? So we have the Jazz playing the Warriors, right? And that's a terrible, terrible matchup because now their best player is Gobert. And Gobert, we know he'll eat up minutes in the regular season, but in the playoffs, they'll just play him off the floor. Like, he's useless in the playoffs because, especially against the Warriors, the team that invented, like,
especially with that Draymond of the five.
Yeah, it's bad.
I personally, for my own sick, twisted desires, I wanted the Lakers to play Utah just to watch Anthony Davis destroy Gobert and to shut up all of the Utah nerds.
His defensive LeBron's so good.
Defensive LeBron is incredible. He has the best defensive season ever, is what I've been told. The best defensive season.
So
ever.
Like,
I understand those metrics.
Yeah. So like,
the Kembe Mutombo, and he's the most overrated player in NBA history.
I do like Gobert. The idea of Gobert, and he in reality he is really freaking good on defense. Problem is playoffs are a whole different game, and especially with how basketball has been evolving the last, you know, 5-10 years, where this is always my thing: bigs don't matter unless they're Anthony Davis or they're a smaller big like Draymond. Gobert in the playoffs doesn't matter because the game is going to speed up at times and he won't be able to keep up.
Exactly. Even against bigs like Jokic and AD kill Gobert. And they're the best two bigs in the league. Kills Gobert.
It's either the game speeds up where, like, he can't keep up, or it slows down where, like, it's reliant on ISOs and he can't. He's terrible offensively. Yeah. You have to spoon feed him. Here's, like getting back to my point. Like, this is an anomaly of a year where, like, you have the 7 and 8 who really should be in, like, the top four, right? And like, that's not going to happen in normal years. So I'm looking at the way the play-in format is right now. They're going to keep it because of how well the ratings have been because of these games, especially the Lakers and Warriors game, because that was essentially, they had the intensity of a game 7 in the finals, right? Like
that was probably what one of the most stressful NBA games since that Kawhi million, Raptors
million viewers or something like that. That was that was a lot of viewers on a Wednesday night late game too.
It averaged 5.6 million viewers. Averaged. Okay, yeah, so that was in like the highest.
I think it peaked at 6.5 is what I saw.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah, like so.
It's ridiculous.
Like, so like we have all these viewers, right? And so it's like that game was like one of the best games. Like it wasn't played well in my opinion, but it was like it was good. It was great. Like the intensity was great. So you're not gonna have
it was superstars being superstars, and that's like the biggest thing that you can ask for.
Right, and it's not gonna like that's the thing. Like you're not gonna have that all the time. So I'm gonna look. I look at the play-in format. If it stays this way, it's gonna be like the slam dunk contest, where like every once in a while you'll have a good one, but like every like most of the time it's gonna be trash, right? Because like you'll have a generational dunker every once in a while. But then, and then like everybody's like, oh, the slam dunk contest is back, whatever, right? And then you'll have a year where like Glenn Robinson III wins the slam dunk contest, right?
You're hoping for like on a normal year in the West, you're hoping for a Damian Lillard to drop 50. You're hoping for Zion for the Pelicans to make it and for him to drop 40 and 15.
Right.
Or the Grizzlies, Ja Morant puts up 45 or something like that. That's what you're hoping for. I think that could happen.
You're not hoping for DeMar DeRozan to go 4 for 22 or whatever.
Even I mean, like
DeMar DeRozan playing poorly in a bad or in an important game, I'm shocked. Shocked, even I tell
a team
you.
Like the a team of the Timberwolves who can have Kat and Ant-Man and potentially another top 3 pick in this draft, which they could be one of those teams too. But it needs to be the right set of teams and the right matchups. Like right. The Lakers Warriors was the perfect matchup.
Yeah, like Adam Silver was like jerking off to watching that, you know, like looking at the ratings and all the money just coming in, you know, like he definitely had a hard on watching that game. Like, you know, it's like, oh God, thank God, you know, like,
he had one since the Nuggets sat their starters and
Nuggets money.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, if you're an objective NBA fan, you don't have a team, this is the best matchup you could possibly ask for in the play-in. But in the long run, that's not going to happen. Really. You're going to have like teams, essentially it's going to be like teams like Indiana versus like, we'll say Chicago next year. Nobody cares. You know what I mean? Like nobody cares. It's just another game for the
Bulls.
League. Like, yeah, for like
poor
the Bulls. For the league to like hype up and be like, oh, you know, wait, who of these teams is gonna make the playoffs? Let's find out. Nobody cares, dude. They're gonna get eaten by like by the Nets.
Another thing. Home court advantage was obviously crucial in the 5 games so far. Every home team has won
right
so far, and so as long as the Grizzlies don't have an upset against the Warriors, it'll be the same thing that I would have been without a play-in tournament. So they need to find some way to make it a little more exciting outside of that Lakers.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So we can talk a little bit more about the game. LeBron, AD, Dennis, they were ass that first half.
I want to say, oh my God, they were four for 28 in that first half. I want to say
something like that. It was bad. I think AD started like 1 for 9.
No, two for ten.
LeBron was 1 for 9, and then Schroeder was also 1 for 9.
Yeah, just awful. I don't necessarily think it had really anything to do with what Golden State was doing. It just seemed like, you know, there was a play.
I think Draymond and AD, maybe Draymond and AD.
Yeah,
because Draymond was really in AD's like jersey.
He was wanting
outside
to
of that. Him. Yeah,
yeah. He
and, I mean, shout out to Draymond because Draymond was incredible in that game. Yeah. He really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. They packed the paint and they made sure that you're gonna beat us from the perimeter because you're not gonna score in here. That's what they did.
Right.
Job.
Yeah. I AD pissed me off so much that first half. he really did. I was just so mad. Like, stop settling for crap, man. Stop settling for, you know, bad mid-range shots. Don't like pull up. Like, just like, dude, when you were 22, 23, you dominated the Warriors. And that was like peak Warriors. You dominated them. Now you didn't win because the rest of your team is garbage in New Orleans, but like you dominated against them. And then you he just was playing like he was scared a lot to me.
I think there's something to say about the schemes. Obviously, Gentry is a much more gifted offensive mind than
I agree with that. But this is also the time where we saw the offense change a little bit in like the playoffs last year. And yeah, I know, bubble and blah, blah, blah. But also AD needs to be like, I need to get on the move. Like, I don't understand how he doesn't recognize that. If
he did really in the second half.
Yeah. And that's when he started.
I think there's also something to say about the lack of Dennis and AD. They haven't had that much time together this year.
No, the starting lineup that they had played three games together.
Look, with all due disrespect, right? Like, a lot of it was also because, like, Dennis was a bonehead. He only had two turnovers, like that were officially counted, but he was making so many bad decisions that there were basically turnovers too. Like, you know, because you could tell that dude was like playing for a contract or at least trying to prove himself. It was really, really bad. It was like
the lack of legs
it was a
horrible combination.
Yeah, which is his fault too, because he still refuses to take the vaccine after he already got put into health and safety protocols in March. You know, in February. So idiot. It's like, so what are you doing here? Like, you know, everything that's happened to you is because of you. And so, and like, you can't say that he played bad because of so-and-so and so-and-so, right? He has nobody to blame but himself. And that's what pisses me off.
Definitely.
Right? You know, it that's the thing that really, really pisses me off. Like, the thing about it is like, all right, in the fourth quarter, right, they had a 7-point lead, and then Caruso and LeBron were both gassed, right? So, like, Vogel took both of them out. And then Dennis was back in, and I was like, oh, God, here we go. We're going to lose this lead. And lo and behold, the Warriors lost it.
Steph Curry went at him. There was such a difference between when Dennis was defending him and when Caruso was defending him.
Which, to me, is so frustrating, because that's something that we talked about throughout the season, of how good Dennis was on defense. But, man, he was just awful. Now, I know it is Steph Curry. I totally understand that. But it looked like he just didn't give a shit a lot.
Yeah. Or he just did like one
of those against Steph during the season.
Yeah. So just like, what are you doing, man? Like, come on.
It was so bad, man. Like, just basic stuff too. And forget about even like the defensive side, just to talk about the offensive story. Like, you know, Draymond baited him to a lot of stupid mistakes. Like, you know, like he would try to do those like the pick and roll passes, and then Draymond would act like he was gonna he was gonna go up on Dennis, but then he would back off and then like pick off the pass from even if it's a bounce pass, right? Like, Draymond's like one of the smartest players ever. That right, like he's still an incredible defender, right? And the Warriors wouldn't be where they are. He is their heart and soul. Like, I don't like, Steph is like one of the greats of all time, but Draymond, I don't care what anybody says, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's people who say that he's not, because
there's a big difference. Yeah. There's a huge difference when Steph plays with Draymond when he doesn't. Obviously, you know, the rest
of it last year
depleted, And I, you know, Steph has been incredible this year, but Draymond is the key to that team. He's always been the key to that team when they were the best team in the league, and to now he's been their most. I don't want to say like impactful, but he's like the glue.
He's the glue of the team. Like, you know, he defends, he facilitates, he puts players in the right places.
Don't
like,
say that like, to Kevin Durant.
Yeah. You know what but I mean?
The only thing. Kind of like when we're on our NFL podcast, how I always have to say that Kyler Murray looks like a toddler running around. Draymond, whenever he shoots, he's got a backpack on. It's an invisible backpack, but it I swear to God, he's that kid in high school that, hey, let me get a shot. Okay. All right. Oh, no, it was my backpack. No, that's always Draymond.
Yeah. He shoots 100%. Like a football player, basically. Like,
Hey, I take offense to that.
He doesn't shoot like us Europeans.
No.
No, he does not.
We're too smooth for that shit.
All right. So with that, they, you know, obviously the big quote unquote three for the Lakers started off early. LeBron started dominating. and AD started playing really well as well. I think there's a couple things that we can attribute that to. One, for Anthony Davis, I think it was because Drummond was taken off the court. And I don't even think Drummond played poorly. Before we started potting, we were talking about that. Drummond wasn't bad. Just go look at Pete's tweets. Drummond wasn't bad.
Whoa. Are you telling me that people like Kings and other idiots out there don't know what they're talking about? Yes. I am shocked.
You apparently shocked. Don't watch tape, Alan. Yeah. You apparently don't watch film because I can say
with almost full certainty I'm the most qualified person to talk about defensive and offensive schemes on Lakers Twitter. You know, I've only coached NBA players, guys.
Outside of Pete.
Yeah, Pete. But I've won national titles. Yeah. So I find it astounding that people still call Drummond bad when it's just a lack of spacing fit, right? Yeah.
That's the thing.
And that's not Drummond's fault.
Yeah, no, it's not. And also he's only been with the Lakers not even half a season, so he doesn't even know all the schemes perfectly. So Vogel has to kind of not dumb it down, but break down.
No, he has to dumb it down. It's not even dumb it down.
Yeah,
in the sense that he really simplifies it for him. Sorry to interrupt, Clay.
No, you're good.
But because just looking at it from a coaching standpoint, when you get a new player in halfway through the season and you've been working with your guys from, let's say, July time, like I do with my guys, right? Like, I can't teach those guys that come in January the same stuff I've taught these guys since July, right? It's just impossible to fit it all in. So what you do is you try and fit in as much as you can throughout practices and stuff, but then you talk them through it in the most simplest of terms that these guys are already like super past like by 6 months. And it's the same concept with Drummond. It's dumbing down, but it's not in a disrespectful way. It's dumbing down in the sense of you've simplified it in the most basic way
possible. It's also comparing him to Gasol, who's one of the smartest defenders in this, you know, this era.
Right, yeah, it's like,
no, for
like,
sure.
It's like
AD, like, who's one of the smartest defenders ever, too. That's two incredibly smart defenders you're comparing to.
For most players, they're not like, look, they're obviously not going to be like LeBron or AD or Mark, who's just like, okay, you tell them a scheme, they'll pick it up just like that, okay? Like, no matter what, because they're just that gifted. Like, guys like Drummond, they need reps. They need to be like, okay, we need a training camp, and then we'll fit you into our system. And then, like, you know, if Drummond had a full training camp with the Lakers, he's fine. And the thing is that he did fine with the game yesterday that was asked of him. You know, he was doing his job. The stuff that was going on wasn't his responsibility. Those were responsibilities of the other players. Like, if the players on the court do their jobs, right? Like, you know, like, for example, like, AD's supposed to contain, and then the Drummond's supposed to like stay on his mat, whatever, right? We'll just say whatever it is they execute it, right? They're fine. But the thing is that when Drummond was on the floor, some players weren't doing their jobs, so it makes him look bad, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's why I said go look at like Pete's tweets, because he puts that, and that's not to even, you know, put down Tim, who we've had on the podcast, you know, front of the pod, but it's just Pete breaks it down of like, no, this is what actually happened. Like,
Can I touch on this quickly?
When
in a switching scheme, like the, especially against the Warriors, where they just switched everything, right? Like even Drummond, what's supposed to happen is once the guy rolls, there's supposed to be a helper, right? But there was one bucket that someone tried to flame Drummond on where Drummond switched out. The guy behind him didn't help rotate over in time to switch, and Looney got a wide open bucket, if I remember correctly. It's like in the first quarter.
He was wide open, but Jordan Poole or Andrew Wiggins was open in the corner, and they made it. Yeah. So it wasn't even a bucket by Looney.
No.
But he was wide open underneath the basket. So, yeah.
But again, that's just a lack of rotation on the backside. It's not Drummond's fault. Drummond's done his job. Drummond switched out and stopped the shot from occurring in the initial switch. Now it's the job of the back guys on the defense, regardless of who it is, to try and stop the roller, which is Looney in this case, and then rotate over to the shooter, which was, I think it was Kent Bazemore, because they went up by 7.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
You got to help the helper here. That's the thing.
Yes.
Because it's like, if you don't help the helper looks bad. And that's the thing. And I hate that we're still having this debate. Look,
It's every possession, man. It's every possession with Drummond.
Yeah, like I like Damian Jones, okay? But Damian Jones is like a bad week away from playing in China next week, next year. Okay, like, or he's going to be playing for the San Miguel Beerman and for the PBA. And if he doesn't play, well, like he had a, like, he's good. I like him as a Flyer. Like, you know, we mentioned him in the, he's the reason why we had that Flyer podcast a couple of months ago, but he's not on the same level as Drummond. Neither is Jang, who's on his way to Cancun right now. Right. Like none of these guys on a talent level are as good as Drummond. Now the question
Also, real quick, they're also not as big as right. Drummond. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that the Lakers needed. They needed a dude that could kind of get beat up a little bit because right. AD doesn't want to play a five in the regular season. And they needed someone to play.
And they didn't have a Dwight. And they didn't have a Dwight.
Yeah, you needed a guy who like not only got who would take fouls from like other teams, like, you know, get beat up in the center position, but also would be physical enough to hit back, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Jones is not that dude.
No,
you know, like one of his weaknesses is rebounding. Jang is not that guy. He's a stretch five. So you get a dude like that's part of their identity, like beat you up, like physical basketball. That's the Lakers part of the Lakers identity.
I'll be interested to see what they do with if he comes back next year. On a, obviously he needs to be a much smaller contract.
It would have to be a mid or lower.
Yeah, I would be really interested, and especially he needs to lose a little bit of weight, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So AD getting space, that was important. I think the other thing was LeBron and AD were just really out of it. They didn't show the intensity, in my opinion.
Yeah, LeBron was outside like the night before partying with Drake and Michael B. Jordan. He thought it was going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah.
It was not a cakewalk.
So one thing with all-time greats, whether it be a Jordan, whether it be a Kobe, a LeBron, and now an AD, they always find that thing that they have to take offense to. And of course, like NBA Twitter has to run with it. You can't, you know, we can't celebrate or as you're gonna blah, blah, blah. Shut the fuck up, dude. Like, just because you guys got your ass handed to you last year after
they can celebrate.
Yeah, go celebrate. Yeah, that's cool.
But we're gonna use that as motivation.
Yeah, they're gonna use that as motivation. So Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano Anderson they lost that game for him because they're smack talking from two nobodies, pissed them off.
When Toscano Anderson did this at the end of the second quarter, yeah. I was like, they've lost this game.
They lost it. I think that was a moment when Jordan.
I like Toscano Anderson, but that was so dumb.
It's good player.
What's dumb? Jordan Schultz or whatever? Was he the one like the Warriors are winning it after now? I was like,
yes.
After, and I think he tweeted that around the time that Juan did the little thing. Yeah. And after that, I was like, game over.
They
came out like down 13 and then they were only down by five within like 30 seconds. It felt like
It went from 13 to one in the span of like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
You don't tug on Superman's cape and there's two Supermen in our team. Okay. So JTA just basically got his contract guaranteed. He finally got a multi-year, right?
It was a guarantee, and I think he got a multiple year.
Recently.
What a steal, by the way. He's gone for the minimum.
That's a Sam Hinkie special.
He's a good player, but you know what? You just need to know where your role is. You know, I don't mind any trash talk. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Your team wants to trash talk. Cool. You know what I mean? We're all grown-ups here. The problem is when other fan bases, and I went on rants about this, right? My problem is when other fan bases say, oh, you're not trying, like you're mad when we're celebrating. No, we're not mad when you're celebrating. Just be prepared for the consequences, you know? And we're going to use that as motivation. You don't like it when we use that as motivation? Well, tough shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We keep the receipts as well. We just keep them better and they actually come to fruition more often than not.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. Sorry that you guys support the Pacers and the Hornets and can't like keep up these receipts, right? Who cares? Like, I don't care if a guy from the Pacers flames me because like the most relevant thing your franchise has ever done is see confetti fall at Staples Center in 2000.
Shout out to Pete, by the way. Yeah, that was completely annihilated that guy.
Oh, I must have missed that one. Oh man.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to
talking go. About. He said something about they dropped the streamers in a play-in game, and Pete's like, oh, they do that after every game. Here's what happened after they beat the Pacers in their only finals, and it was the confetti dropping.
Yeah, like we drop confetti not after every game, after every victory, every
win,
right? Yeah, after every victory for the past 35 years, we do that. You know what I mean? We celebrate wins, okay? And then like
because that's what matters.
And then people from other fan bases like, oh, you guys are celebrating wins. Oh, like you know, if it's regular season, like they haven't noticed that we've been doing this for 35 years, and we're not the only team to do that. Remember when the Sixers dropped a confetti prematurely?
Yeah.
You remember that in the playoffs? Yeah. And then like they lost that game. We don't when we drop our confetti, it's because we won. Okay.
At least our operation managers can drop it at the right time.
Yeah. The only time we prematurely the only time we prematurely celebrated was like it wasn't even during the bus era. It was during the Jack Ken Cook era when they dropped the balloons Russell played his last basketball game. That was it. You know what I mean? Like under the bus era, we've been dropping it like after every victory. First of all, we make sure it's a victory. That's when we drop it. You know what I mean? Like, and
yeah, it's a good 2 minutes after the game ends. That's when it starts dropping.
Exactly, because we're smart about it. You know, we're not idiots. Yeah. You know, and then all these fans are like, oh my god, you know. And so this like, I think was it a blogger or a reporter from the Pacers?
I think it was a writer. I'm pretty sure it was a writer for the Pacers.
And then he didn't he didn't know that we drop confetti or streamers every single time that we win. And then so Pete was like, you know,
I mean, Indiana can't afford to do that, you know, being a poverty franchise. they don't have the funds to be able to keep up with something like that. You know, those $10-$15 that it cost them for the tissue paper, you know, was way too much for management.
Well, they can they have time to do it now because I mean, they're off season.
Yeah, they're in Cancun. They can start that. They can start that.
Murdered by the Wizards. They got murdered by the Wizards yesterday. It was bad.
Yeah. All right, the lineup that I kind of want to talk about is one, of course, Caruso is in. And of course, LeBron and AD. Kuzma found his way into it. He's just been phenomenal. While I still want him to go on,
that's a universal sentiment.
Yeah, I still have to say he has been really good, especially on defense and hustle stats. The thing that I definitely got wrong was in one of our DMs, I said, I don't give a crap what Wes does. He's not doing anything. And of course, he comes in and he was part of that ridiculous lineup that in a
plus 17 and 14 minutes.
Yeah. In that 9-minute stretch, I'm looking it up right now. The Lakers had an offensive rating of 150 and a defensive rating of 44.4 and we're plus 19 in the box score in 9 minutes. That's
from them apples.
Yeah, that's just so insane. So like that lineup is definitely going to be one of the
can I just mention one thing irrespective of that lineup? KCP and Alex Caruso in the first half kept us in that game. I just want to say a special shout out to both of those guys.
Yes.
And then Wes in the second half, who was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wes Matthews is going to win us multiple games in the playoffs. People are going to get pissed off. And then he's going to sign for the minimum next year. And he's going to do the same thing in the playoffs next year. And it's going to be great.
You know,
took us this long to talk about Alex Caruso.
We have to
carve out like a good 10 minutes because there's so much.
There was a couple just entire plays where he's so annoying on defense for guys. Like there was that little video that Jamal Murray quote tweeted laughing at about Steph. Like people must be like, they have to hate when they defend him because he's running around all over the place. Mm-hmm. Caruso has to be the most annoying defender because he's doing the same exact thing. He's switching perfectly onto guys. Like there, oh man, there was that, it was like a couple minutes left in the fourth when Steph had the ball and it was near the half court line and AD and Caruso was on him. I was like, oh my God, he has no idea what he's going to do. Like, because you have Pterodactyl and AD and then you have Caruso, who is not a meme. I don't understand how people like, and not even like just fans, because regular fans are, but I'm talking about like actual people that get paid to write about basketball, whether it be the blog, a blogger from Charlotte or Indiana, places that no one gives a crap about, but I'm talking about national writers. How do you not understand how freaking good he is on defense? Now he's also turned it on offense, and guess what? He can shoot now.
No, he can't.
Don't. Yeah. It's just
you leave like, him wide open. It doesn't matter if he's shooting above 40% and KCP shooting 42%. It doesn't matter because these guys haven't shown it consistently. Motherfucker, they've done it the entire season. Shut the fuck up, all of you.
They're defending champions, and KCP
they both did it in the playoffs too.
I don't know whether KCP will be able to do it in the playoffs after he did it last year, being our third best player. What are we talking about?
Well, yeah,
can we also give the nickname that Paul George gave to himself to KCP, because he's literally really like a playoff player, man. Like, and that's the thing too. Like KCP, the past 2 years, right? He's had a very interesting trajectory where it's like, we're not going to count the first 2 years, but we're talking about the last 2 years. Because like the first two years he didn't have LeBron or like AD, so like he was like trying to play above his role, but now his role is like strictly 3-and-D, right? And whenever he goes into the playoffs, like he'll have a bad month and then he'll be good the rest of the way. Like
he was definitely dreadful for a good stretch.
And the crazy thing about it is that like he was pretty much like last year, he was terrible the first month, right? Like people were like making petitions to send him back to jail. You know, like that's his first year, but then he turned it up and I think he shot like 38% from three for the rest of the season. And we all know what he did in the playoffs, right? The dude was like arguably the third best player on the team last year in the playoffs. Now this year, he was like a flamethrower coming out the gate. He was
you're like 62%.
He was like top five in 3-point shooting for like the first couple of months. Then he like after that Milwaukee game where he made 8 threes, he went like straight to the gutter for like 2 months, and like to the point where like there's people were asking, is he a starting player in the NBA? You guys know who I'm talking about. Or people wanted him gone. I'll admit, like, you know what? I was kind of like over it. It's like, dude, I'm tired of like this going on. But then I just realized that it's because like we had an abbreviated offseason and he was still trying to catch his wind. Like, because once
he finally still shot 41% from
career high.
Exactly. Career high.
Even after that, it was like, it was at least six 6 weeks to 8 weeks where he shot what it felt like 10% from three.
And he might have, to be honest with you, he wasn't good at all in those 2 months. You know, people were sick of him, but you know, then you realize that, you know what, it's because, you know, he was just burnt out. That's the thing. Like, 71 day break, that happens, you know, especially for champions. Wait, you know what?
We're all burnt out.
Yeah. Like, we're fans and we're burnt out. Imagine how they feel, right? Like, Markieff had to like take up meditation just like to be, because he's so like burnt out from basketball. But anyway, like now, I will never doubt this dude ever again. I told myself I wouldn't doubt him last year, and I didn't, you know, I lied to myself like this year, like, you know, like I let doubt creep into my mind. But you know what? This dude like proved it again that he's going to be an important piece. And that's another reason why I'm glad that we didn't trade for Kyle Lowry, because we wouldn't have this guy. If you trade KCP, you have to replace KCP, you know, and that's just not happening.
Right. Yeah. I think to kind of go over, you know, just kind of end it talking about that game, Wes and Kuz brought defense and energy to the team, just full stop. They made a couple big shots and a couple big plays as well. But they weren't like high scoring games for either one of them, obviously. But then to slow Steph down, because he had what, 5 points after the first quarter? They were already up double digits. So it wasn't even him. But then I think he scored what, like 16 or something like that.
He finished the half with that, I think like 16 or 18. I want to say.
So he definitely had a better second quarter and whatnot. But then the third and fourth quarter, when Caruso was on him, that's kind of what slowed him down, at least in my opinion.
I
don't know if there was more that you guys want to add to it, but I mean, it was a combination of guys, but I mean, obviously your best defender at this point, not overall defender because AD, but your best perimeter defender right now is Alex Caruso, who should honestly be in consideration for all NBA. To me, it's not even a question.
All defense.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
And all NBA, fuck it. No. Yeah. But I'm all
screw it.
NBA.
Here's the thing too. All right. Like the best microcosm of what Alex Caruso is that play where like he hit the side of the backboard, right? Mm-hmm. And instead of holding his head down, where
so many people would
he was like, you know what? No, I got this. Like he went back, defended Steph tried to cross him. He knocked the ball off of Steph's leg. It was our ball. He got the ball. He got the ball back, pushed it up to AD. AD got fouled and shot and made those both those free throws, and it brought the game to a 1 point game instead of a 3 point game, because that was key. He won the game for us, like him and LeBron and AD. I want to see that lineup more often, you know, because I feel like their closing lineup should be Alex, KCP or Kuz, right? Like not as a shooting guard or whatever, just like he just has to be in there, right? KCP or Kuz, Wes, AD, and LeBron. I think that should be their closing lineup for the playoffs, in my opinion.
I think Dennis is going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't want to bury him too much after one game. I get it, I just think that his ability to break down guys on his own that's going to be an invaluable. And it's like, you just have to hope this is kind of like a one game aberration before.
I think it'll take a series for him to get back to being close.
Well, a couple of things too. I think Wes is like, gives a lot of the same things that Danny Green does, but I don't hate him, you know, because.
He's not making $14 million. That's what it is.
Not only that, but like also just.
He's likable,
and also he's more mobile than Danny Green is. Danny Green looks like he's cooked, to be honest with you. You know, like
and also the biggest thing with Wes is he gets LA. He's like, I get the fans. The fans want a title. They're gonna be loud. If they not play well, they'll let us know. But we love it. And that's what people need to understand about LA.
Yeah, he didn't say that your bandwagon's for booing him. like that.
Yeah, this is a tweet from Raj from a couple of days ago. He Caruso, LeBron, and AD, when they're on the floor together for the last two seasons, are a plus 16.5 net rating.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
The last 2 years, a plus 16.5.
But we need to see it more. How do we know it's not just like, obviously LeBron and AD are all worldly, but like, There is a reason, man, why that guy is always part of positive lineups.
Right. And it's also the reason why LeBron loves him the most.
Yeah.
Caruso is the LeBron James of playing with LeBron James. That's my favorite quote I've ever seen. I love it. He really is. He's one of the best role players I've seen on a LeBron team.
And guess
he's one of the best role players probably for the Lakers ever.
The other thing also is that like, you, him, and Kuz's work with Phil Handy has been coming out a lot. These dudes have become sometimes primary playmakers. You know, like Caruso was doing a lot of ball skills that he didn't have before. And Kuz too, but Kuz would dribble the ball off his foot a lot. You know what I mean? Like now, like he's doing a lot better. So yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
One thing I want to say with Caruso before we move on is it's what the national media thought that Matthew Dellavedova was, but Alex Caruso is actually that. Actually,
yes.
All right. So I think we're going to go ahead and actually end that here for our kind of wrap up of the playing game. What we're going to go ahead and we're going to have a little bit of a two-parter, I guess we'll say, and have a preview of our Suns series that's coming up. So real quick, Merge, plug yourself.
I'm at Merge 1998, also at Direct Snap Pod as well.
Wonderful. Alan?
The Lakers side chats. I guess I'm sort of affiliated with Under the Bus again.
apologized already. What more than that?
He wants it in blood.
Have you never been friends with a Slavic person? I'm going to hold this over you for the rest of your life.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
So, where was it? Lakers side chats, Under the Bus, obviously. Blipped in. Direct Snap. Flaming Idiots on Locker Room. What else is there? Cracking Catfish cases that are like 20 years old in Twitter years as well. Shout out to that group chat that Nas has put me in. it's amazing. More information to come out soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks guys again. And yeah. See you for part two.
And Nas, since you're not suspended, I don't think you want to go ahead and plug yourself.
Yeah.
You can never be too sure.
I'm not going to be tweeting anytime soon, but you can plug me on, you can find me on opinions on the NBA, or you can find me on my backup, opinions NBA one. Like, I'm just not going to be
working at this point. Your backup is at the Under the Bus.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much. So, all right. You can follow everyone there, obviously. You can follow me at Lakers 1949. We'll be starting our preview for the Sun series in just here a little bit. But that is up. That is it for our wrap up of the Lakers playing game. All right. Thank you all for listening. You can find us on wherever you listen to podcasts. Please go ahead, rate, review, comment. Thank you all. All right.
Peace.
Bye.